This is Dr. Max Shouts, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church in Walnut Grove, Minnesota. It is our privilege to be with you now for this half hour, and we hope that you have your Bibles out and you're ready to follow along, because that's the only way that we learn the Word of God is to give it out and you take it in. We'll be back in just a moment. It is so good to be with you again this Sunday morning, as it is each Sunday morning at the same time. And again, we count it our privilege to come into your homes and spend this half hour with you. We hope that you have your Bibles in front of you and ready. And if you will, please turn with us, if you will, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 5. Predestination is the subject that we're going to be on, along with foreknowledge and choose and chosen and a few of those words here. So, as we continue this Sunday morning here, we'd like to remind you that the word predestination comes from the Greek verb, which means, according to Vine's expository words on the Greek New Testament, to mark out beforehand, to determine before, foreordain, and so forth. In essence, predestinate means that something has been predicted by God, and get this now, it will come to pass. Now that is very important that you understand that. The word predestinate is translated in the King James Version is found only twice in Romans. That is Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30. Predestinated is found only twice in Ephesians, once in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, and once in chapter 1, verse 11. Now, let us begin here with Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. In Ephesians 1:5, we read, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will." Now notice who is predestinated as we take this verse and look at it exactly what it says. It can only be one of two groups, first of all. It can either be the saved or the lost. Paul identifies the children of God as the object of being predestinated. Notice, having predestinated us, that's the plural pronoun, this is Paul and every saved person. God did not predestinate anyone to be saved, but this teaches he predestinated something for those who are already saved. Mark that in your Bible and get it down if you want a very clear, simple teaching of what it means to be predestinated. Now, what did God predestinate for the Christian? That's the next thing as we recapitulate here a second. The scriptures are pure and simple. The Christian is predestinated unto the adoption of children. That's literally sons. When we trust Christ as Savior, we become his children. We are positioned in heaven as a son now, but we come to the realization of our sonship at the rapture. And again, as we've mentioned last week, the Jewish Bar Mitzvah may aid in understanding the adoption and sonship. Bar Mitzvah means a son of the commandments or the placing of a son. When a Jewish boy, again, reaches the age of 13, that day he is then considered an adult. He is expected to accept adult religious responsibilities. It's a joyful occasion. It's accompanied by gifts from friends and the family. And he is no longer considered a child, but an adult son. Now, the word adoption is from the Greek word that means actually the placing of a son. Therefore, the placing of a son is just as a Jewish boy is placed as an adult son on the day he reaches the age of about 13. We Christians also experience our sonship when we are placed in heaven at the day of the rapture. Now, this is when we have our physical bodies redeemed for a new glorified body. And I don't believe it could be any plainer or clearer then stated in Romans chapter 8, verse 23. "And not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." So in summary, as we examine these four places, we're going to answer three things. Who, what, and when. Who? We find on the negative side, nowhere are the lost said to be predestinated to be saved. On the positive side, the saved are the ones who are the object of the predestination. and they're to be predestinated to receive something. What? The adoption. And we just read in Romans 8:23, the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. When? At the rapture, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Now, let us move on here to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, if you will. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now, notice the use of the word we, again, a plural pronoun. Paul is including himself and all Christians. They have obtained an inheritance. Now, this identifies those who are predestinated for something as being already saved. Now, that's important if you want the clear understanding of the teaching connected with predestination. Never, folks, is anyone ever predestinated to be saved or predestinated to be lost. Now, this again identifies again those who are predestinated for something as being already saved. We shall see in verse 12 what the Christian is predestinated to receive. Now, what is predestinated is according to the Lord's purpose. Remember this, the meaning of the word predestinate means to mark out beforehand, to foretell, and God says something's going to happen. Now remember this, it must come to pass, so it is not left unto the responsibility of the Christian, because the Christian may not always obey the Lord. The Christian may not always bring it about to pass. But when God predestinated something for the Christian, that means it will come to pass, and it is left entirely up to God to bring it to pass. And we maintain, as you shall see, that each one of the predestination, the time it is used in the Bible, will be fulfilled by God at the rapture. Now, here we go. Again, what is predestinated is according to the Lord's purpose. He will also bring it to pass after the counsel of his own will. Notice that. His own will. Let us know that God does not leave what he predestinated to be brought to pass by the volition or faithfulness of man. Therefore, we can rest assured what God did predestinate actually will, without exception, come to pass. In summary, the saved are the recipients of being predestinated. It was God's purpose to do so, and he will bring it to pass himself. We are told in verse 2 what is predestinated. Let's look at it, if you will. That we, again the plural pronoun, Christians, should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. At first glance, one may think this means that it is God's will that every Christian should lead a separated life. Now, it is, but not the teaching of this verse, which would be to the praise of his glory. This is certainly God's will for every believer, but this cannot be the meaning of this particular verse if taken in context as the fulfillment of what was predestinated. Now notice, if you will, if this were true, then it has not come to pass in every individual. Remember, what God predestinates will, without exception, come to pass, the reason being, every Christian is the recipient of what is predestinated. Not every Christian leads a separated life. In fact, some Christians never lead a separated life from the time they're saved until the time they leave this earth. Then to what is this referring? It has reference to the event of the rapture, when, without exception, every Christian will be to the praise of his glory. The bridegroom, that's Christ, is looking in expectation for his bride, that's the church. The church, every believer, is looking for the bridegroom to return, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This meaning is the fulfillment of what Christ predestinated for every believer. Remember, what is predestinated must come to pass. If, to the praise of his glory, meant leading a separated life, it may not come to pass, for all Christians do not lead separated lives. You see, Christ never leaves what he predestinates to be fulfilled by the volition of men. By the determined will and power of God, the rapture will fulfill every qualifying aspect of the predestination. Notice now that we should be to the praise of his glory. Now, take your Bibles, if you will. We'll try to cover all these if we possibly can here. Notice here, if you will, in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Here we read, "For whom God did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Now, the statement heard many times is, you cannot reconcile the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. Now, in one respect this is true, and in another respect it is not. Now, one can understand both, though. Notice the confusion exists when one does not properly understand the meaning of foreknowledge and predestination. Now, foreknowledge is an attribute of God's omniscience. Primarily, foreknowledge has to do with persons, and predestination is centered in God's purposes. Now, foreknowledge has one element, get this, knowing what is going to happen before it takes place. In relation to people, it does not contain the element of making people do something. Again, predestination is different from foreknowledge in that it contains two elements. This is important to notice. One is the prediction, and the other is the act of God to bring it to pass. The confusion begins when one inserts meanings into a word which it does not contain. Remember, keep these two words separated as to their meaning, and you've got it. Foreknowledge, again, let me repeat, has one element, that of foreknowing what is going to happen, period. Do not add any other meaning to this word. It contains one element only. Predestination, on the other hand, has two elements. These two are, one is predicting, the other is fulfilling. Again, predestination is related to God's purposes. Foreknowledge is related to persons. Now, in verse 29, for whom he, that's Christ, did foreknow, this simply states that Christ knew ahead of time every person who would trust him as their Savior. The word carries no other element which would impede the free will of a person to make their own choice. Every Christian who would be saved in the church age is foreknown of God. We also see that every Christian is going to be the recipient of what God is going to predestinate. Notice now, for whom he did foreknow, that's every Christian, he also did predestinate. Now, as we've said, foreknowledge is related to persons. He foreknew every person who would be saved. His purpose is seen in predestination, as we are predestinated to what? Here we got it. To be conformed to the image of his Son. When will we be conformed to the image of his Son? At the rapture, of course. Now, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, we are told, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, and that they may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. This is being conformed to the image of his Son. In 1 John 3, 1, we read this, beloved, now we are the sons of God, literally should read, we are the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, that's at the rapture, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, again, predestination becomes very clear if we do two things. One, take exactly what the Scripture says and believe it. Number two, know the difference between foreknowledge and predestination and add no other elements of meaning to these two words. In summary, verse 29 teaches the following according to predestination. Who, what, and when? Here we go again. Who? Only the saved are predestinated, not the lost. You find nothing about the lost included here. What? Christians are predestinated at some future time to be conformed to the image of his Son. When? At the rapture. Here we've got it. In Romans 8:30, we find out this. Moreover, whom he, that's Christ, did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, here we go. Now, as we examine this verse, let's take it one step at a time. First of all, moreover, whom he did predestinate. As we have found, those who are predestinated are only the Christians, never the lost to be saved. Let's look at the second part. Them he also called. How are Christians called? We find out from other scripture in Romans 10:17, we are told that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In John chapter 6, verse 44, we read this, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Now this verse is comparable to that of Romans chapter 8, verse 30. the phrases called of him and draw him lead us to ask, how then does God draw or call the lost? In John chapter 12, verse 32, we have the answer. Then we'll take a minute while you turn in your Bibles, and let's go here to John chapter 12, verse 32. Now, as we read, and I, if I, that's Christ, be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. All men here does not mean all men without exception, but it does mean all men without distinction of race, creed, social standing, and so forth. We are called or drawn by the Word of God, which testifies of the resurrection and the ascension of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, if faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Christ will draw men by being lifted up through hearing the Word. This is the preaching of the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I have preached unto you, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Christ, you see, never calls us to be saved outside of his Word. The called are those who have believed his Word by accepting Christ as their personal Savior. Now, let's go on down to another part of this verse. Them he also justified. You see, justified is a legal term in the Bible, meaning declared righteous. All are declared righteous upon receiving Christ by faith. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we read, therefore being justified, remember now, a legal term, declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we come on to a fourth point. Them he also glorified. What is that meaning? Notice the use of the past tense here. That is a positional truth. God looks upon the Christian as though he were already in heaven. Notice here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Let me quote that if I may. And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is, you'll know here, he hath raised us up together, hath raised us up together, past tense, and made us sit together. He's speaking as though we are already in heaven, as though that has already taken place. Now, in summary, Romans chapter 8, verse 30 simply teaches that the ones who were the object of God's predestination were only the saved. For, let me quote it again, whom he did predestinate, these are the called, the justified, and the glorified. No one is ever predestinated to be saved. You must personally realize that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you see, God sent Christ to pay for our sins. So we do not have to make that payment or our debt ourselves in a place of torment called hell. If one will only believe in or trust the Lord Jesus Christ, God will give him eternal life. Now, so many times people are misled thinking, as Calvin, and let me quote this in closing, Arminianism holds the fact that we are saved by grace but placed on probation and we may lose our salvation at any time. On the other hand, Calvin, in one respect, taught the Bible true in this fact concerning salvation. He said it is true that we are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It is a gift to God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then he went on to teach, which is known as hyper-Calvinism, that God has chosen some to be saved, and God has chosen some to be lost. And in conclusion, let me say this to you. That is erroneous. That is a man-made doctrine and teaching, not of the Word of God. You listening, you have never been predestinated at all ever to be saved or lost. You see, in 2 Peter, God said, I'm not willing any should perish, but all should come to a change of mind or repentance. And in John 3:16, God said that he loved the world, and the world is all-inclusive of everyone. That's you. Don't ever accept someone saying that you're predestinated, you cannot be saved. I don't care what you've done. Realize that you have sinned, acknowledge that, and then accept God's record of his Son, that he died for you. God said, I love the world so much. That's you. That's me. That's everyone. That he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever, that's all inclusive again. I don't care what you've done, you listening this morning. If you do not have the peace of God that passeth all understanding, then you're not saved. Then trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for you. And God said, you'll never perish. I love the world. I gave my Son. And if you believe in him, I promise you, here's not what's going to happen. You'll never perish. Now I'm going to tell you the positive side. You have everlasting life. You've never been predestinated to be lost, never been predestinated to be saved. God wants you to, but then when you receive him, God predestinated that you will have a glorified body and receive the adoption at the rapture of the church.
And I see our time's gone. If you've trusted Christ by listening to the broadcast, we'd appreciate you writing us. Just let us know. And we'd just be so thrilled to share that with you. We really would. We'd invite you to go to our website. It's www.heritagebbc.com. And click on there, and you'll find hundreds of Bible questions people have asked, and we've attempted to try to answer those. I think you'll enjoy that. And also, we appreciate your writing. And we hope you'll take time to write. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, keep looking up, because Jesus is coming.